Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back to hour number two of Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. I am Scott Gulbranson, your host, along with my co-host, Q Myers. We are talking all things Raiders. Coming up here in just a moment, Dieter Kurtenbach from the Bay Area News Group will be with us. We'll talk to him about Tom Cable and his column about the hiring of Tom Cable and how he was wrong. A lot of us were wrong, right? A lot of us didn't like the hire for whatever reason, and it'll be an interesting conversation for that. Later, also, the Q-tip will come up down towards the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to give you an insight onto our sided Raider Nation debate of the week, where we'll ask you a question, you'll answer, we'll discuss it at the end of the week when you guys answer. And it's been great seeing people go up there and do that. By the way, Q, when you're on the radio live, it's weird. Sometimes my mouth just stops working. It never happens when I'm talking to my wife or my kids. It only happens on the air.
Well, you know what happens? You'll say something, and you might mess up in conversation with your wife or kids, but you won't notice it because you're only on the air. I mean, you're not on the air. But when you are on the air, it's like we notice everything we do wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's, you know, the funny thing is, in radio, too, one of the worst things you can do is make an error where you say something when there's an open mic and you say words that can't be spoken on the air because you could get fined. Like, I've not had that problem, but I've heard people. Have you ever let something slip?
No.
See, me either.
Not at all. Not that guy.
No. Nope. I might be Millie Mouth and like blah, and not be able to get something out, but I've never used any language like that because I value being on the radio. And I also don't want our station to get fined.
Right? I don't even like curse on podcasts. Yeah. And I know podcasts, you could do that. But you'll never catch me cursing on the podcast.
No, I think, and for me, especially from a business perspective, I just think, you know, unless you're doing a comedy podcast
or right, I'm not.
Even music, like I just think when you curse, it just kind of lessens your brand. It's just, it's not necessary. But
some people, it's not, and especially when you're talking sports. And yeah. Like I said, I don't ever want to get out of the habit of what I do on the radio. So I don't ever want to get myself caught up and start doing something on one platform that I wouldn't do on another platform. It's just a bad look.
Yeah. By the way, a little bit of breaking college news. Saturday's Alabama LSU game has been postponed due to a COVID outbreak, of course, on the LSU side of the ball there. So that's breaking news at this hour. Okay. We're going out on the newsmaker line, bringing in Bay Area News Group columnist Dieter Kurtenbach. Dieter, thanks for being here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. All right, so Tom Cable, like many observers and fans, when Gruden hired Tom Cable to be his offensive line coach, there was kind of a collective ugh, right, that you could hear. He was not real successful in Seattle, didn't have a great record of success there, so John Gruden brings him back. Rewind for us why you were skeptical when he was first hired.
Well, you have to remember the team that John Gruden inherited, and arguably the one good thing they had going for them was their offensive line, and it was a big, hulking, gap-blocking offensive line. And then you bring in Tom Cable, and he's his own guy. And I'm looking at it, and I know that John Gruden wanted to go to zone, that's what his offense is built off of, but sometimes you got to be pragmatic, and going out and getting a guy who is more or less, at least at the time, known as a zealot for the zone blocking scheme. And in fact, we saw Seattle just fail and fail and fail so many times because Cable wouldn't adapt to sort of their skill sets, tried to make everybody a zone blocking guy, square pegs and round holes left and right. It was concerning. It was concerning because it was going to make whatever rebuild was going on then in Oakland and now in Vegas. It seemed like it was going to go, you know, for a lot longer than it needed to, because it's really hard to rebuild offensive lines. You want to maintain at least some continuity. It is the front line of the offense. And so, I don't know, he just didn't do a very good job in Seattle. He was blamed by a lot of Seahawks fans for, you know, that team's problems. Maybe I bought into that a little bit too much. And then the zone stuff with an offensive line that just didn't look equipped to play zone, I was super, super skeptical. But I watched that game against the Chargers on Sunday, man, and that offensive line was dominant.
Yeah, it really was. And even, you know, Dieter, his first year back with the Raiders, he wasn't very good, or the offensive line wasn't very good. And that was part of that transition you were talking about. So there was a lot of questions still, even after his first year back.
Well, the big thing that I think has changed, and the thing that he deserves the most amount of credit for, and it wasn't applicable when I wrote this column on Sunday, but it should be brought up. Colton Miller looked really bad his first year. And Tom Cable and the entire Raiders coaching staff has been able to turn Colton Miller into a really solid tackle. He's been really good. I also covered the 49ers, and I remember when they took Miller. They took him at number 10, if I remember correctly, and right before the 49ers had taken Mike McGlinchey. And this was right after the 49ers had gotten Jimmy Garoppolo, and it was a very overt thing about trying to protect Garoppolo. And the Raiders wanted McGlinchey bad. That was their guy. And they ended up just sort of taking the next best guy at the same position at number 10. It just felt like Gruden, who was in charge of pretty much everything, Reggie McKenzie was still the GM, but no one believed that he was actually making any calls. It just seemed like Gruden was in over his head. And it might have been the impetus for bringing in Mike Mayock, which obviously has been a great pickup for the Raiders. But the Miller thing, he started off on the back foot. He was really bad his first year. You got Tom Cable there, and you're like, man, this is just a hot mess. But Miller has gotten better and better and better, and Cable deserves a whole ton of credit. And then I'm looking at this offensive line. I do want to be clear. The Chargers' defensive line is not very good without Joey Bosa. But still, it's a professional defensive line. They were making some things happen. And they have three backups out there and were just absolutely wrecking dudes. And not only wrecking dudes, they were diverse in their scheme. They were going on, you know, you think about that first touchdown run where you get the flankers to the outside. I mean, this is stuff that only really good offensive line coaches do. You would think it'd be normal, but it really isn't. And Tom Cable is just a damn good offensive line coach, and I couldn't have been more wrong in my skepticism early on. He has proven me to be a fool. It probably isn't the first time that's happened, but for Tom Cable, it's the first time he's made me look like a jerk.
Yeah, I'm in that club with you as well. Dieter Kurtenbach from the Bay Area News Group is joining us now. You can follow him at Dieter, D-I-E-T-E-R, on Twitter. Let me ask you this, too, because you mentioned good coaching and what Tom Cable's been able to do. You talked about Colton Miller. We had Brandon Parker at the beginning of the show for an interview, and he's progressed nicely all of a sudden. That coaching of young players, to me, you know, you can coach veteran players into your scheme and all of that, but when you start to see a coach develop that young talent like Miller, like having somebody even like Denzel Good get better, that really, to me, is impressive, because you have to balance the veterans with the rookies and get them up to speed very quickly in schemes that aren't always easy. But what has he done maybe to make it easier for them as far as mixing it up there with what he's doing on the offensive line?
Well, he never puts too much on his tackles. I mean, that is one of the beauties of zone blocking, that you don't often leave them out there on an island. They've done a really good job, and John Gruden is very keen to do this. They have a lot of tight ends on the field. Darren Waller's not the best blocker on the planet. He might be the best route running tight end on the planet, but he's certainly not the best all around tight end. Not to say anything bad about Darren Waller, who is the best, but you know, they'll have Jason Witten out there. Why? Well, because he can block a little. And, you know, you get Fabian Moreau out there, like, because he can block a little bit. Like, they will do a lot of two, sometimes even three tight end sets, and that protects the tackles a little bit. Also with the zone stuff, I mean, they really do try to do try to not put guys on an island when they're in a bad situation. Running backs have been key in the blocking. When Alex Ingold was healthy, obviously that was a big key as well in pass protection. So they don't put too much on them. And this isn't to say that they can't handle it, but just you never want to test it too many times. These defensive ends in the NFL are so damn good. And beyond that, you know, you think about like a Denzel Good. I don't know if I want to give Tom Cable too much credit on that. I'm in a giving mood, but guards in a zone blocking system are not necessarily, you know, the positions you need to coach up the most. And we saw how Richie Incognito just took to it immediately. Guards in that system should be thriving. They really should. But you think about the thing that stood out to me, and forgive me if I'm repeating myself, I mean, the gap stuff that they were doing and have been doing all season, that is straight out of the old Raiders playbook. And I'm sure Rodney Hudson is just thrilled, because that's what he thrives on. And that's now why the Raiders are thriving. Gruden wants to run the ball, man. This is not a passing offense. They will pass, don't get me wrong. They'll take those deep shots. But this is a team that wants to control the ball, that wants to run the ball. The game of football is kind of coming back to John Gruden a little bit there. It doesn't work if you don't have an offensive line that can control the line of scrimmage. Not just, you know, protect, not just, you know, get a couple of yards every time. We're talking about absolutely dominating the line of scrimmage. We're talking rugby-style domination at the line of scrimmage. And that's what the Raiders' offensive line is doing. And the fact that they can continue to do it even with backups speaks to the scheme, speaks to the coaching, speaks to the players. They need a lot of credit on this one, too. So that speaks to Mike Mayock and John Gruden for getting those guys in there. And it speaks to a team that really has a chance to make the playoffs this year. I know that's not a shock to too many people who have been watching up close, but over here in the Bay Area where, you know, we're keeping an eye out on the corner, we're stalking the IG of the Raiders a little bit. It's a little bit surprising. We knew the rebuild was going well. And maybe they don't get there, but, man, it was really impressive watching that. You take into account the Chiefs game as well. I can't think of a team that has, you know, had as impressive a victory as the Raiders have had this year. I think they have the best strength of victory in the NFL of any playoff competing team. That really does show that the rebuild's working, and I think it all starts with the offensive line.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Rodney Hudson, and I feel like that's a guy at the center position who doesn't get enough conversation, doesn't get enough recognition for everything he does, except for from people that are up close and personal like ourselves and you. You know, you see him all the time, you realize how good he is. Yeah. But how much better is it for Tom Cable when he has an anchor like Rodney Hudson right there?
Oh, man, if you're in a zone blocking scheme, you need to have an elite center. It's just so hard to do it without an elite center, and there are few, if any, better than Rodney Hudson, man. It was an absolute pleasure to be able to cover the Raiders with Rodney Hudson here in the Bay Area and to still keep an eye on him from afar. He is the epitome of a professional. He is absolutely awesome at his job and just a great guy. So that is the kind of person that you build a franchise around. I know he's getting up there in years. He's not exactly, you know, a spring chicken anymore. He ain't cheap either. But, man, that is somebody that you do not let go under any circumstances. I can get Kelechi Osemele leaving. He's a great guy, too. Not going to say a bad word about KO, but you just the last guy that gets to go on that offensive line is Rodney Hudson, because that is a guy right. Who sets a tone, not just for, you know, the line, not just for an offense, but for an entire team. And if you got that guy around, you know, I would like to say you're going places. Obviously, the Raiders haven't gone too many places recently, but it's no surprise to me that he's been playing outstanding football as the Raiders are kind of getting back on track here.
Dieter, one last question for you. We talk about this makeshift offensive line, what they've been able to do so far. They're going to get eventually most of the starters back. How good can this offense be in 2020?
I think it could be really good if Carr, you know, can take his game to another level. This has always been the limitation with the Raiders. This script is not new. The run game is awesome, and that has really been the jump, right? And I've liked a lot of what I've seen from Derek Carr. I've been a really big Derek Carr skeptic throughout my years covering this team. And he just kind of sits in the middle. There's a football purgatory aspect to him. But he's really kind of taken it up half a notch this year. If he can take it up that full notch, if he can find another gear here in the final stretch of the season and against some of these pass defenses they're going to get to face, I kind of need him to do that given the opportunity. I think the Raiders have a really good chance to do it. And listen, they're going to have to. This defense stinks. There's no nice way to put it. It's not getting any better either. It's really bad. They're going to have to put up points if they want to make the playoffs. They've been doing it to date, and the controlling of the ball helps a lot, don't get me wrong. But there's going to be a couple of games here down the stretch where Derek Carr is just going to have to be slinging it. And this is where Ruggs comes into play. Aguilar has been really good as of late. That's been a fun surprise. You know, you always know what you're getting from Waller. But they got to air it out a little bit more, and Carr needs to be a little more swashbuckling. We saw a little bit of it against the Chargers. I think that's a trend that needs to continue. And you might lose a game here or there, but I think he can win you more than he can lose at this juncture when you have this kind of protection. So that's really where it all comes down to yet again for another year with the Raiders. Can Derek Carr get them over the top? This is the year. This is the first year in a long time that I thought, yeah, this might actually work. I like what they have, and he seems really comfortable for the first time in a long time.
All right, always good stuff. Dieter Kurtenbach from the Bay Area News Group. Dieter, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, Dieter Kurtenbach, there you go. Good stuff.
Yes, sir.
I mean that.
And I know we ran out of time with Dieter, but,
yeah,
you know, not to mention Derek Carr's running. You know, he's using his legs as well. That's, you want to talk about taking it up another notch. There's a little bit of a notch right there.
No doubt. I mean, it was our first broadcast on August 3rd. It's the first thing we talked about, right?
Yep.
With Lincoln Kennedy, who, by the way, is coming up next with Vinny Bonsignore at 4 o'clock on In the Huddle.
Nice segue.
Shameless plug there for them. It's good stuff. And I think Dieter's right, though. I think there's going to be a game down this stretch where, and maybe even a couple games, where as the leader, and I think he can do it based on what I've seen this year, he's going to have to step up and he's going to have to take over a game. It's just the way it's going to be. He's done it before. He can do it again, and I think he'll be called upon to do it this year so that they can stay in the playoff hunt. All right, it's time for a break. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Q-tip. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Hello, Cleveland! No, sorry. That's a Spinal Tap joke.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the NFL draft.
No, if you've ever seen the movie Spinal Tap, those out there know, nope. They know. You're back here on Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio. Your boy Q, Scott Gulbranson.
It's me.
Bobby Machado making all the magic happen.
What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby's hanging. He's waving at you. He looks like a longshoreman today with his hat on.
Cool.
He just gave me a dirty look for that. No, shocking. I'm just kidding. Anyway, we're back here. We're talking Raider football. Before we get to the Q-tip, we're going to our good friend, one of our favorite callers, that is Steven down in New Orleans. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing good.
Chilling.
Good. I'm actually on my way to Destin, Florida today, but I guess I'm still from New Orleans. But, you know, what's interesting, and you may remember this, when Al Davis promoted Tom Cable to head coach, the most thing he was worried about is the fact that Tom wouldn't coach the offensive line anymore. So when he made him head coach, he still had to coach the offensive line. And I know some people think his Tom as his zone blocking specialist, but we weren't running a zone blocking scheme when Jamarcus Russell was there, when Tom was the offensive line coach. And he almost got us to the playoffs with Jamarcus. I've always thought he was pretty talented, and I was shocked to bring back like a coach that we had terminated or that he'd want to come back. But I guess I'm not as surprised as most people that he's done a good job. He's always known as an offensive line guru. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it went south for a couple of years in Seattle, but I'm very happy that he's doing the great job he's doing for us now. So if that adds any insight from a guy that's been a Raider fan since 1976 for you. Al thought the world of Tom as an offensive line teacher of men. So, another thing here, I know we had Dieter on it. He ain't the biggest Raider fan in the world. He hadn't watched much games this year. Oh, Doug's upticked at a half a notch. Come on, man. Go back to the Bay Area. Sorry. I'm not a big Dieter Kirkenback fan. Just follow his Twitter. It's like, I had to finally stop following him. He's just so negative. Look at the Bay Area guys. Just will never cut the Raiders any slack because they left, and it's almost like they penalize you for it. But once again, I enjoy the show so much, and thank you very much for what you do every day, okay?
I appreciate that, Stephen. Thank you so much. Yeah, and I understand what you're saying about Bay Area writers and all that kind of stuff because their readership is there. The readership, at least for the Raider fans who either didn't make the trip, or I should say didn't stay with the team after the move, because there are fans who basically disowned them. We understand that. But, you know, majority of the writers who cover the Raiders, even here in Las Vegas, are still based in the Bay Area.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting. Vinny, of course, is not. He moved here, and he's covering the team from Las Vegas. So just an interesting dynamic there. It's still there. But there's still a big base up there, man. There's a lot of Raider fans, and there always will be.
The thing. And, you know, you just can't think that those fans are going to go away. I mean, just win Wendy. Is she a Bay Area person?
Yeah.
You know, just for one, we have callers from Oakland all the time. I mean, look, the Bay Area is still going to be heavy Raider fans. It's just that, like, radio there in the Bay thought it was better for business. And in the radio game, we understand what they're talking about. It's like playing a popular song, even though you might not like it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You play it because it's hot. So they're catering to their audience and what's good for business and not necessarily just, you know, where the real popularity may lie.
Well, and to be fair, and we're going to get to the Q-tip here in a second. To be fair, the Raiders have been sort of a wayward franchise. They have not won. They've had the revolving door at coach. So all that stuff that's happened also poisoned the well up there. So now if the Raiders do well in this rebuild, I think you'll even see Bay Area, even the bitterest, not bitterest, that's the wrong word, the Bay Area writers who are more negative now because that's been the narrative, I think they'll change. Because if the team's doing well, it's going to be harder and harder to find negatives to talk about. Instead, you have to talk about how they're succeeding, and that'll change a lot.
Yeah, maybe. as long as they have the 49ers there and they're somewhat doing well, they're not going to worry about it.
That's true. And that's been that way for a long time. So, especially since the move back from LA. All right. It's that time of the day where we bring you one of the favorite features here on the show. That, of course, is the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
And usually, 9 times out of 10, the Q-tip has something to do specifically with the Raiders. But this one doesn't. And this is something that would never apply to the Raiders because they're not a franchise that's cut from the same kind of cloth. The Raiders are definitely in a whole nother world when it comes to this next subject I'm going to talk about. And earlier, Scott, in the show, you mentioned, you know, the NFL owners voting and approving possible 16 playoff teams. And, you know, that could affect what happens later on if games are affected by COVID-19. That's one thing that they approved. But another thing that they approved today, which blows my mind and I take very personal, especially as a black man, I take this very personal. The NFL passed a resolution that would reward teams with 2 third-round compensatory picks if they develop a minority coach or executive who is hired as another team's head coach or GM. So basically, let's put it like this. If Eric Bieniemy gets a head coaching job this offseason, the Chiefs would receive a third-round pick in 21 and 22 in their draft just because Eric Bieniemy got hired in the offseason as a head coach. I think that's the dumbest and most asinine idea that anyone could ever have. And the Raiders would never have to worry about that because they don't worry about, oh, well, let's go develop this guy or let's go hire this guy so we get a couple extra picks. They don't. And they have never cared about sex, race, or anything else. But we're in a day and age now where they want to hire someone. And I get it. Like, I get the gist of it, what they want to do, but they're going about it totally the wrong way. It's so offensive. It's almost like I got to bribe you to give me a job. I don't even want that job if I got to bribe you to give me a job. That's so ridiculous. And it's really going to take a lot of credit away from whoever gets hired, because people are going to look at it and say, well, they only got hired because, well, that team got some compensatory picks out of it. Stupid. Bad idea by the NFL. They're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, Q, I agree with you on this one, too. I mean, look, you want to hire the best person. And to me, by doing this, the intent is good. Okay, it's just like so many things that we see in life, in government, all this stuff, where the intent is really good. The intent is, hey, let's develop more minority coaching candidates or minority front office. People always forget about the front office, by the way, which is a huge one too. Okay, so what if I develop a GM and they're black and they go get a job? Do I get picks for that? No,
yes.
You do. It's for the GM too.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Head coach or executive.
But so it's crazy. So to me,
it's insane.
To me, there's things that are going on that are really aimed at, I think, at addressing the issue at its core level, where it has to start happening first. You know, the things that have to happen for this to become part of the fabric of the NFL, because it currently is not, is to start when people are young in their career. So we saw what the Raiders are doing with UNLV, right?
Right.
And starting the program to develop minority students into sports management, into coaching, all these things.
That's exactly. Where you, and they're not getting picks for that.
No, No, they're not getting picks. All the million, I'm going to assume, millions of dollars that they're going to spend along there. And they're not getting picks for that. But they are doing it the right way, which is a kid who comes out of high school and goes to UNLV, or let's say some other team or some other people do this at a different university. Those kids are going to learn the skill set that they have, they need to succeed in professional sports. To be able to just give people draft picks because someone came out of your system doesn't make a lot of sense. And to your point, Q, I think it takes away from the accomplishments of the individual.
Exactly. Getting a head coaching job like Hugh Jackson got a job. Can you imagine if Hugh Jackson was hired by a team next year as a head coach? And I'm sure he won't be, but if he was, or Eric Bieniemy, like I said, and all of a sudden it's going to be, well, he probably got hired just so they can get some compensatory picks. They're actually getting draft picks because they're a minority guy. I mean, it's like, look, that's not, you're not supposed to have to bribe someone to hire a guy. Just do it the organic way. And I know that it's not necessarily working right now, but it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me, man. I cannot stand it. That's another reason I'm so proud to be a Raider fan, because Al Davis didn't need bribes. He didn't need any compensatory picks to hire someone. If you were the best person for the job, damn it, he's going to hire you. Bottom line.
Well, and you know, Q, there's people out there who don't want to talk about race as it relates to this.
Of course they don't.
Because
that's part of the problem.
Right. It's uncomfortable. And even if you disagree for some purpose, you can disagree and not be a racist. You could say, hey,
exactly.
here's why I don't think it's a problem, if that's what your belief is. Okay, I get that. But the bottom line is there's a discussion around it. So if there's a discussion around it, this is where I think the NFL, you have billionaire owners. And they make a decision, and because almost like they're forced into it because of the times, what we have happened last summer. And it's like, no, instead of coming out with a bad proposal with rewarding an organization for with draft picks for developing talent, that's the wrong way about it. You're just doing it to basically placate people, and all you're going to do is placate some people. And you're going to, to me, Q, they're going to hurt more minority candidates than they're going to help.
They are, because again, now you're wondering the validity of the hire.
Exactly.
I mean, what if, okay, say Eric Bieniemy gets hired by the Jets next year, and then they get these compensatory picks, and then he gets fired after 1 year. Was it because they were trying to get extra picks, or was it because he just wasn't a very good head coach?
Right. Or what if you hire somebody into a front office job? Maybe it's a,
right.
not the GM job per se, but maybe it's another, it's a player personnel job, and you hire them and fire them a year later. I mean,
exactly.
You're right. You can abuse that system. And look, the NFL, the thing that people forget, and part of the issue here is, intentional or not, NFL teams, for the most part, are family businesses. Okay. Yeah. Very wealthy families. Okay, I get that. But they're family businesses. So these people hire others that they know in their networks that they're like.
And they're comfortable with.
And they're comfortable with. And I think that's what happens sometimes. I think as people like Eric Bieniemy earn their way in, which he's clearly done, when they do that, and then you have GMs that are that way, and you have people in the front office that way, what'll happen is they'll start hiring people in their networks. And organically, it should happen anyway, right?
It should, yeah.
It should. Mm-hmm. We've seen it happen with the Raiders over and over and over again in their organization. And what we need is we need that to happen in other organizations. But forcing them on it, I agree with you, man. It's just bad news. And I just don't want people to be hurt by it, because I think you're right. I think most teams probably wouldn't, but there's going to be some teams out there who might just do it. And the fact that the Chiefs are going to get third round draft picks when they just won the Super Bowl, and they're going to be there again this year, at least close to that, or if not there, is pretty sickening. Because what are draft picks for? Draft picks, you're supposed to benefit from draft picks to improve your team, not benefit the team. You know, the rich get richer, so to speak.
Right, especially because you hired away one of their coaches. I mean, come on, man.
I know.
Oh, and by the way, he was a black guy, so you get a pick for that.
Yeah.
You get a pick for that. I mean, I see a Dave Chappelle skit coming, you know, with that just like any day now.
Right. Yeah. And then
it's dumb.
And then suddenly, you know, there's a few female coaches in the NFL, right? Position coaches.
Right.
So exactly. now if they hire someone away, then what if the Chiefs, two candidates from the Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy, somebody from the front office, and someone else gets hired, a woman gets hired as a coach for another team?
Right.
Are they going to get six picks?
Pretty much. I mean, again, you're basically bribing other teams to take your minorities on.
Oh, I mean, man. Yeah, when you
I'm
going to
give
that
minority a chance, so I'm going to get I'm going to get some draft picks for that. Like, that's just, I wouldn't want to be hired that way, honestly. And I know the old saying, like, don't worry about how you get hired. It's what you do after you get it. Mm-hmm. But I told you, I got a chip on my shoulder. I would take that personal. I wouldn't want nothing to do with that.
No, because you work your tail off. And you
keep keep your picks. I'll get a job somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, you want to be hired somewhere where they want you.
Yeah,
for the right
exactly.
reasons. For the right reasons, because you're good at what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I understand that. What do you guys think? 702-365-9200. Of course, the Raiders, their history of Al Davis just hired whoever he thought would win. He didn't care about color, creed, whatever. He was able to do that. You look at Amy Trask, of course. You look at Art Schell. You look at Tom Flores. It just goes on and on and on. So the Raiders, they're in the corner laughing, saying, okay, guys, we were there.
Yeah, this is silly.
We were there 50 years ago.
Exactly.
It's just
hello, welcome just, into, you know, 21st century or whatever. I don't know. It's stupid. I get in a bad mood when I even start thinking about stuff like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's tough. I just think too that in the NFL, like I said earlier, I think the focus is too much on head coach.
Right.
Because, you know, what about the front office? Those are the people who are – those are the CEOs, you know, for lack of a better term. The GMs are the CEOs of an NFL team, so to speak. And you have front office personnel. You have PR people. You have all these different roles within an NFL organization. And the focus should be throughout that. It shouldn't just be on the head coach. I understand head coach is very visible because it's on TV. It's there in front of you. They're the person in front of the media every day, like the GM as well. But these are opportunities. That's why the UNLV Raider thing I'm really excited about, because that's going to train young people who go into college all those roles, no matter what your bent is, no matter if you want to be a player personnel, you want to be a trainer, you want to be a GM, you want to be a coach, whatever it is, they're going to have the opportunity to learn there so that they have the skill set where you walk in an NFL building, you're starting your job, you're going to be able to walk through and be able to get that job. And to me, that's
right. It's like I said, it takes your credibility away. You know what I mean? Like, you worked your tail off to get that position, and there, I promise you, as my name is Q, there's going to be somebody who's going to say, oh, yeah, he just got that job so they can get some draft picks. Or, oh, she just got that job. You know, I mean, how many times do we hear that? We hear that so much. I mean, it's 2020, and we hear that now when you look at sideline reporters. Oh, she only got that job because she's a pretty face or whatever. You know what I mean? And you totally take away the credibility of someone's hard-ass work.
Yes.
And that's just not right.
Right. No, absolutely. And you want that person to be recognized for the good job they do, not how they got their job. All right, we're going to take a break. Great, great Q-tip today that everybody can think about. All right, we're going to take that break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our sided Raider Nation debate this week, which is about the defense. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're here with Scott. You're here with Q. You're here with Bobby on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, bringing us back to some Judas Priest. We got the universe! All right. Silver and Black today. Blowing out your eardrums. You can still hear me, Q?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I had to step away a little bit from the headphones. I was like, whoa.
What the heck?
Scott's going all the way, you know, like a small hole-in-the-wall clubs type style on me.
We're back, Silver and Black today, the home stretch here. By the way, I don't know if you saw, coming out of the Q-tip, which was great. If you missed it, you can catch it up on our podcast feed. It'll be up there in about a half hour or so, 45 minutes. They did an interview with Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner.
Yes.
And he said, quote, "We will be very intentional about making sure the candidate pool is rich with diverse candidates." Now, my question for you, Q, is, wouldn't it behoove anybody who owns a business, no matter what it is, that when you go to fill a position, you want a pool of diverse candidates?
I mean, that's the idea.
Right. So,
you know,
maybe I'm naive, man. And if I am, you can slap me up inside the head with reality. But like the fact that you say it almost makes me not believe it.
Right.
Because
it's like you're going to try to make a fact of it. Oh, we're going to make sure we have a lot of diverse hires. Get out of here, man.
I know. And by the way, the Falcons chairman has served as the NFL's Workplace Diversity Committee chair since its inception in 2002. So, whatever. Arthur Blank is an interesting dude.
Yeah, he's done, look, and I know for a fact he's done a lot of good things for a lot of minority people in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Some things are just kind of off a little bit. And look, this idea, like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to spit in the face of it. It's,
no.
I get the idea, like you mentioned, like the intentions are great. It's just the execution is not where it should be. I mean, again, if, and this is all I've ever asked for in life, I've only asked to be on this, on an even playing field. I've never asked for any kind of favors. I've never asked for any kind of, you know, exceptions. I just want to be on the even playing field. I want to be on the same field that you're on. Mm-hmm. And if you get hired away from the Kansas City Chiefs, are they going to get picks because of you? No. But if I get hired away, they get picks because of me. That's dumb. That's dumb. We should be on the same playing field. What's good for me should be good for you. If they're going to get picks because they hired me, they should get picks for hiring you.
Yeah, I don't understand. I want to hear, I'm assuming the commissioner or somebody will have a press conference and talk through this, and so we understand the thinking behind it. Because right. Again, like you said and I said earlier, good intent is fine, and you want to address issues as they come up, even difficult ones. But it all comes down to execution. How are you going to do it? And this seems just like, we'll just give them draft picks.
Right.
Which is so half-assed that,
right, exactly.
Again, it makes the whole thing look like a folly versus look like something that's actually meant to address an issue.
Here, if you hire Scott, he can take the job. If you hire Q, you can also take the job, but the team, our team, will get draft picks as well.
Right, right.
So stupid.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, listen, this week, of course, we have our Sided Raider debate up on Sided. If you have the app on your phone, you can go download that for free, or you can go to sided.co. The question, Q, and we'll get your answer right now. After the past two games, are you more confident in the Raiders' defensive front and pass rush?
Oh, man, no.
No.
I mean, you know, honestly, no. I mean, it's still a work in progress as far as I'm concerned. You know, I mean, they got two sacks. They got a little bit more pressure on Herbert. It seems like the quarterbacks that move a little bit more is the ones that they get more pressure on than the guys that just sit in the pocket, which is kind of backwards, but okay. You know, it just seems like that's what it is. It's just got to get better, Scott. It's not where it needs to be.
No, it's not. The answers for you are yes, we're seeing progress. And no, it's still not up to snuff. So
no, I mean, it's not.
Okay. So far, we have 60, almost 67% of people saying, yes, we're seeing progress. 33%, no, it's still not up to snuff. We'll see this grow during the week. We'll give you updates. And then Scott Kaplan from ESPN Los Angeles and from Sided will be on with us on Friday to talk about the result. But, I you know, look, it's not up to snuff yet is sort of my answer.
Right.
But at the same time, I do see progress. We saw progress watching the film. I was impressed with Furl this week. He needs to get better. Now he's put together, I think, two good games. Even coming off the edge, Q, if you go watch the film, he was much better, and they were collapsing the pocket on Justin Herbert. Now, that offensive line isn't exactly something to write home about. But
right.
I like to see that. When you're playing a lesser opponent, you know, don't use it as an excuse to explain good performance. You should be beating somebody who has lesser talent on the
right.
offensive line. And so we saw that. We saw Nassib. Now, again, that's without Maurice Hurst. Right? We don't have David Irving in the lineup yet.
Nope.
And so I'm really interested once they get those bodies back, how they work them in. Because I like you, I'm kind of chomping at the bit to see David Irving out there and what he's got.
Yeah, no, I am too. And I remember last week, John Gruden said something like he's a couple weeks away. So I don't expect to see him anytime soon, which stinks because that's something I brought up last week. Like, man, I know what he was able to do in a very limited capacity when he was with the Cowboys. Granted, that was a couple years ago. Would love to see what he's able to do. But we all know that he's not into football shape. Hey, I wanted to pass this tweet along real quick.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this whole minority hiring thing. And Rossi hit us up on Twitter. And he said, hey, it could go the other way with the picks as well. Maybe a team doesn't hire a minority coach from a division rival because you don't want to help build up a rival franchise, which makes all the sense in the world.
Wow.
So what if the Raiders had an opening, and I'm not saying they do, but if they did, and Eric Bieniemy was the guy they wanted, and they say, well, we got to stay away from him because I don't want to give the Chiefs extra picks.
That's a great point.
It's also something that doesn't make any sense. So, yes, Rossi is spot on when he says that.
Yes, and I'm sure
so there's... Eric Bieniemy's his whole like coaching possibility tree is at least three teams less.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, there's got to be other wrinkles there too. I'm sure Rossi will find them and tweet us from down
there. Shout out to Rossi. Good stuff, dog.
He's on Wednesday. We're on Tuesday, but that's okay.
right.
But yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you start to unravel that thing and you're like, okay, you guys clearly didn't think this through.
Right.
Unless their point is, well, it's just only three teams. Yeah, but then you're limiting my opportunity for employment.
Like, example, Mike Vrabel, who obviously is not a black guy, or a minority, but he went from the Houston Texans to the Tennessee Titans. So it happens. You know, coaches go from one team to another in the division. They go from being like he was a defensive coordinator to now the head coach. But now, most likely, that's not – Tennessee probably would have looked at Houston and said, yeah, we like Vrabel, but we don't want to give Houston extra picks.
Yeah, and even in the wider conference queue, right? Because let's say the two best, just for the sake of argument, the two best teams in the AFC, I know Pittsburgh's up there with the record, but let's just say it's Kansas City and Baltimore.
Right.
And then you hire, let's say Harbaugh retires, and so they hire Bieniemy. Do you want to do that too? Because now you're going for supremacy in the AFC to win. You're at that level now. You have your franchises built that you're going to go for a Super Bowl. Do you want to give them?
Nope.
No, nope. You don't. You don't.
I mean, there's so many wrinkles to this that doesn't make sense. Look, if you can't get draft picks for hiring you, I don't want to get draft picks for hiring me.
Yeah.
You just want the even playing field. That's it.
That's it.
I don't want to walk uphill. I want to walk on the same playing field that you're walking on.
I want
it to be flat ground. I think it should be flat ground for everybody. Bottom line.
Well said. All right, we're going out on the phones for a call. Jay in SoCal. Jay, what's going on today?
What's up, Scott? What's up, Q?
So you
guys were just asking about the defense, if it's been improving and everything like that. And the way I've been seeing it this whole season is who's out there and who's motivating. You know what I mean? Every time when Jonathan Abram wasn't out there against Brady, zero pass rush, nothing happened, right? Same with Nick Kwiatkowski when he wasn't out there, when he was injured, didn't really have much. I feel like it's more than just the players that we got talent on all over the defensive side, but I think it's just that X factor, that motivation, those guys out there barking and, you know, getting guys riled up. You know what I'm saying?
That makes
sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, take care, man. Jay, I appreciate you calling. But
I thought he had some more.
No, I did too, but that's okay. He dropped the mic and he was done. He was done.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, look, this defense, it's a work in progress, and really, I think if you're a Raider fan, you should be happy that you've seen incremental process. Does that make you super happy? No. But I will tell you, if this team defensively can start to put it together better and peak towards the last third of the year, that's what you want.
Right, exactly. That you got to be peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And Q, as I was doing my film session this morning, I just gorged on Raider Charger film, I'm not angry. I'm not going to slam him. I just feel terrible for Corey Littleton. He is lost everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching plays and guys are barking at him, telling him where to go. Defensive backs are telling him where to go and he's running around pre-snap. He doesn't know where he looks lost. He's shaking his head. I don't know what's going on.
Well, that's when the coaching staff needs to just sit him down.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you're paying them. Sit them down. Hey, you're not helping the team right now. And maybe you sit down and you watch from the sideline. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, and to me, they're there. Because, look, watching an entire game of just ISO on him on defense and watching how he's also – I hate to do this because I'm not trying – I never try to question somebody's heart. But he's just not going full speed. I'll put it that way. Right?
Right.
I don't know what the reason is. Why he's not going for, I'm not saying he's quit
he's
or
thinking.
Anything like that. He's thinking too much. Yeah, exactly. And so when you see a guy in pursuit down near the end zone, and yeah, there's two other guys going for him, but he comes out of coverage and he doesn't run full speed, and the guy's going for the end zone, what does that say?
Right, Exactly.
You're not there. You're not into it. Maybe it's not the right fit. Maybe he signed with the Raiders. I get it. The money, all that stuff. It seemed like a great fit. And then sometimes you take a job and you're like, man, this place just isn't for me.
Right. Exactly. It's what I thought it was going to be, but then it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Exactly. And I'm wondering, I know we're only halfway through the year, so I'm not going to say that definitively, but watching him over and over again, play by play, he makes some nice plays. And you're like, oh, why didn't you build on that? And then you see the next play, and you got Kwiatkowski throwing him around. You got Jonathan Abram barking at him, and he runs to the opposite side of the field because he was on the wrong side for the coverage. It's just really strange to me, man. I just can't figure it out.
I don't either. It's really strange because everybody we talked to leading up to the season were like, man, this dude is going to be the guy, you know, and he's so hungry and he's a, you know, undrafted free agent. He was a special teams guy. He's only getting better. Well, clearly that's not the case.
No. And we also they're showing Derek Carr's leap on. Oh, this is Stephen A. Smith this morning. Yeah, he's giving them a bunch of praise. Imagine that.
Hey, real quick. Real quick. Jay hung up.
Yeah.
He just tweeted at us. He said, my bad. I cut off the call real quick. I'm fishing, and I finally got a bite. Oh. Good stuff, gents.
Hey, Jay, the fish is better, man. That's good. Good for you.
That's so funny. My man said, hey, y'all got to go. I got a fish on the hook.
Yeah, man. It's dinner.
I probably would have done the same thing to you.
It's dinner. You know,
I would have done it just because fishing is so hard it's not guaranteed that you're ever going to get anything. So if I finally did get something on the hook, I'd be like, yeah, I got to go.
Yeah. I'm glad he just didn't drop the phone in the water.
Right. That'd have been all bad.
Kerplunk. And you hear, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, real quick before we go, Q, we got a couple of minutes left. Did you watch any of the Jets game last night?
I watched the whole thing.
Man. I was NFL dude, man. On Monday nights after the show, after I get the files up, what I do is I go meet my buddy Phil. We meet once a week. We watch football. We smoke cigars. And there's a guy there. He's like, I'm a Jets fan. I know how this book ends. Right? And he's like, I know what's going to happen. So you mentioned Eric Bieniemy. Like,
yep.
The only way, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I go to the Jets, and I know they're going to throw a lot of money at him, as maybe the Texans will too. The only way I go to the New York Jets is if Riddick is my general manager.
Maybe. Look, there's only 32 of these jobs in the league.
I know, but that organization, like,
and you can't really, like, this kind of goes back to what we've been talking about. If a team is trying to hire you and they at least sound like they have a good plan, look, I don't know if the GM's going to be there. The ownership is bad. We all know that. But at some point, man, you might just have to take a job so you at least start getting something on your resume.
Yeah,
you know, you can't really spit in the face of someone who's trying to hire you and then complain about not getting hired. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Can't really do that.
Yeah. I think he'll have multiple offers for him, though. So
I do too. I think he should go to Houston, to be honest.
Yes. And I know that's been a mess there, but that's because of the previous inhabitant, and he's gone. So hopefully the ownership there learned their lesson and they get good people down there as well. All right, Q, that's going to wrap it up on a Tuesday. Busy Tuesday, man.
Yeah, it was. Fast and furious. Lots of fun, man. I like it.
As always. And tomorrow on the show, we'll get back into it as the team gets back to practice. We'll get an injury update. It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, Colton Miller will be back, and they'll start to get those guys as well. But that's one of the things that we'll keep an eye on, because this team, if they get fully healthy, is, I think, you know, just at the beginning of what they can be. So it's very... very good days ahead. I know sometimes the team takes a step back because they're young and they're developing, but overall on the right track. All right, Q, have a good night, my friend.
Peace out, brother.
All right. For Q Myers, I am Scott Cobranson, along with our engineer producer here, Bobby Machado. Coming up next, the man himself, Vinny Bonsignor, who's texting me about Corey Littleton, by the way. He'll be on next with Lincoln Kennedy for In the Huddle. You don't want to miss that. You stay with us all day long. We have a great team here at Raider Nation Radio. I know Q and I are so damn proud to be a part of it. We appreciate you listening. Have a great night, everybody. And join us tomorrow, Silver and Black Today, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on your station, the station for Raider Nation, Raider Nation Radio.